This series contains description of blood, gore, and violence, and discussions of suicide, murder, self-harm, depression, PTSD, trauma, and death. Listener discretion is advised. Professionally Possessed. Story 3, Part 1. The Exorcist School.
I think that most people would look at the facts and say that Helena appeared and ruined my promising life. I would disagree, but it certainly wasn't in my plans at the time to meet anyone like her. My focus in those days was almost solely on my studies and graduating so I could be the best exorcist I could be. Though occasionally, I would get distracted.
Marcia, perfect. Are you busy right now?
Ah, Professor. No, I'm not busy.
Really? You seem pretty absorbed in that book.
I'm a student, sir. Our default state is reading.
Hell, only for the good ones like you. I'm pretty sure most of my students put more effort into avoiding books rather than completing the work I assign them. What are you reading?
Just researching some alternative methods. Yesterday, one of our exorcisms went poorly. The victim died shortly after we finished, and it killed 4 people before that. It could have been avoided because it was one of the demons that escaped from the vault. I was just checking if we could have... Anyway, what can I help you with?
Can you help me carry this chalk and incense to my office? I have another class in a few minutes and I'm already late.
Of course. Better yet, why don't I take it all for you and you can get to your class?
She can't help but chuckle to them, can she?
Excuse me?
Ignore them. It doesn't help to encourage their insults. Then they'll think we're actually competing with each other.
Well, I'm sorry most of the other students see you as a nuisance. I know you said you came here to escape competing with your siblings.
I assure you, the students here are nothing compared to living in a household with 15 children vying for our parents' attention. For instance, no one here has tried to stab me.
While I appreciate the offer, I think it's better if I walk with you. Actually, will you be free for a while longer?
I'd say so. My classes are mostly evening and midnight studies now. You know, since that's when demons are the most active. I only get to see the sun if I make an effort these days.
Of course. Working exorcists don't get the luxury of sleeping soundly, so you should get used to staying up late and waking early.
If we get to sleep at all.
Yes. The reason I ask is that my next class is in the catacombs. We were recently brought a peculiar case that may interest you to see. Would you like to sit in?
Are you traumatizing first years again?
No, it's my second year Pentacles class. I don't think first years would be up to this level of intricacy.
Do I get any other hints on what this mysterious case is about?
Honestly, you have to see it to believe it.
I suppose I shouldn't miss the opportunity then. The catacombs were a familiar place to me at this point. I'd been at the school for 3 years, and at least one exorcist class a semester took advantage of the blessed burial place beneath our theology school. It was also a small enough program that every single student recognized me as soon as I arrived with Professor Apton.
What's the exorcist extraordinaire doing here?
Sorry I'm late, everyone. I'm sure you all recognize our top senior, Marcia Atazra. She'll just be observing in the back, so pay her no mind.
Hello. While they were all glaring at me, everyone kept one eye on the far side of the room. There was a large berth around the lone girl tied to a chair there. She was struggling and growling, but at first glance looked like a typical possessed person. The students were all huddled around the stairs for safety, so I didn't know how I was supposed to observe discreetly. Instead, I just parked myself in the middle of the crowd and tried to ignore the sneers.
Anyway, I'm sure you've all noticed our guest of honor here.
Apton had no problem stepping right up to the victim, even as she desperately gnashed her teeth at him, desperate for one little bite. The girl herself looked worse for wear, with a bloody gash down the side of her face, a misshapen shoulder, bruises and scrapes all up her arms, and a matching gash on her left shin. The tight ropes holding her would probably leave their mark as well.
She's a very special case. Does anyone have any ideas why?
Is the demon perhaps resistant to simple pentacles?
A good guess, but she's a little more unique than that.
Did she get possessed despite being such a good student? Such a tragedy. She's so unique and special, everyone has to know her.
I just smiled at the venom directed at me. In my first year, I used to pick fights with the selfish, righteous worship seekers that made up a good chunk of the exorcist students here. But at this point, I didn't care as long as the only person they tried to hurt was me. I assume it has something to do with the pentacle near her collarbone, opposite her busted shoulder.
Correct. Does anyone want to take a closer look and identify it for me?
I sat back and let the actual students here take a look. A few courageous ones got closer, peering at the symbol I'd seen. I felt bad for the girl. She'd probably been possessed for a while, and I guess the pentacle and other interventions hadn't worked yet. I hoped Aptum could help her.
Sir?
Yes?
Isn't that a damnation sigil?
It can't.
That's correct. And can you tell how many chains of power it has added to it?
Four?
Why would someone write the most powerful attraction pentacle onto a human?
I don't think that is what they meant to do, but even if it had been given to her with malice, it's impossible to know at this point.
Shouldn't we take it off of her then?
I'm afraid that's not possible. Whoever did burn the symbol into her flesh. If it was on a limb, we could cut it off to separate the symbol from her, but because of its position, we'd kill her trying to remove it.
Then what do we do? How do we exorcise her?
Even if we could get the demon out of her somehow, she'd just get possessed again when she got close to another demon. At this point, there's no real way to save her.
Gods.
This is an important lesson to you about the power of the pentacles you are learning here. They aren't toys or tricks. They have the power to hurt people as much as help them. This is why the licensing exam for exorcists exists. Messing with demons is a dangerous occupation that is supposed to help people, but in the wrong hands. The knowledge that you are learning here will condemn innocence. It is also a lesson in the fact that not everyone can be saved. I know, as a whole, we exorcists think ourselves better than demon slayers, but at the end of the day, death is sometimes the best option. This girl has no future and no hope for a good life, so it's best to end it here. Does anyone here have the strength to do what is necessary?
It was a terrible thing to ask them to volunteer to kill a person. But in my time as a student, I'd seen my share of terrible things. Whether I'd admit it or not, I had taken an interest in this occupation because everyone said only those who were already traumatized by demons were equipped to handle the horrors of exorcism. I'd wanted to succeed where so many dropped out or left. However, when I had seen a body ripped into pieces by a possessed person for the first time, I realized people were right. By the time I'd graduated, I'd be as traumatized as a person who had a loved one possessed. Trauma just came with the job.
No volunteers. Marcia, would you do the honors?
The other students may call me a suck-up, but even I was insulted that Aptum thought I'd do this just to impress him.
I'll do it!
Of course, maybe he knew that would be what was necessary to get one of these petty jerks to volunteer. As the moron stepped closer, Aptum offered them a knife.
Now, you have to be quick about it. Remember, we still want to minimize her suffering.
Of course. I'm tied up again.
At first, I wasn't sure I was hearing right because she was so quiet. But when I realized what I heard, I couldn't stand back.
It's probably best to slit her throat. It's simple and quick.
Professor, wait a minute. I think she's coming out of it.
Well, that's impossible. The demon couldn't leave her.
It didn't leave.
The demon's talking!
I don't think... What is this? Am I in a sideshow?
Quiet, everyone. The demon sounds like it's trying to escape its fate.
I don't think she's possessed anymore.
Well, at least one person's smart here.
Well, Marcia, how would that work? If the demon didn't leave on its own and we couldn't run it out, how could she not be possessed?
I killed the demon from the inside, obviously.
I don't know about that, but even if I can't explain how it happened, I think we can prove that she is human.
But after what you said, sir, shouldn't we still kill her?
What? No!
It gets more complicated if she's not possessed anymore.
Meaning she should probably get a say in whether she gets to live or not. I'm guessing she'd rather live.
Of course. Why would I want to die?
How do you plan to prove she's human?
Well, I'd assume pain. It's always, well, painful.
You're just a little too smart for your own good, you know. It's not common knowledge that demons don't react to pain.
I'm sorry. I've been doing this a lot longer than you.
You don't know.
Marcia, remember you're interrupting my class for this.
I bit my tongue to keep from reminding him he's the one who dragged me here. Wasn't he the least bit curious about this girl? Give me that knife, and if anyone has a cloak? Everyone waited quietly as I covered her with the cloak from the neck down, and then I knelt in front of her. I hid my hands and the knife under the cloak. I looked up and instantly looked deep into the girl's deep brown eyes. They were shadowed with exhaustion, but looked directly into mine. They weren't scared. It was almost like she trusted me. But then I realized it was more accurate to say she trusted herself.
Smart.
Since you're so clever, care to elaborate how for our audience?
Well, I assume you know a demon could fake it. So by blocking me from seeing your hands and not telling me when you're just gonna touch me or hurt me, you'll make sure my reaction is genuine.
Sorry if it's uncomfortable.
Nothing's more uncomfortable than the sensation of a twig gouging out your-
Ow! That wasn't the knife, that was just your knuckles digging into the pressure point in my arm!
Proof enough? Since I hadn't yet graduated, I still had to defer to Aptum.
Well, she may not be possessed right now, but she won't remain in control of her own body for long.
Thank you for stating the obvious.
Possibly, but we can't keep her prisoner if she's not possessed. She's hurt and she needs healing and compassion, even in her circumstances.
But at any moment-
I'll take responsibility for her as long as she stays on campus, Professor.
You're just going to hurt yourself by getting involved.
Do you mean emotionally or physically?
Possibly both, but I've been through worse.
All right. I may not agree, but your judgment has always been sound. Come along, class. It appears our special event is at an end.
Thank you. Truly.
I'm surprised you didn't seem at all worried through that whole process. What's your name?
Helena. It's not the first time I've had to defend my life and humanity to a group of reluctant strangers.
I'm Marcia. Do you even know where you are?
No. Is this a school? Studying demons?
It's Celestine Seminary in Braj. We have...
One of the few and arguably the best programs that teaches and accredits exorcists.
Do you know everything demon-related?
I only know this because people like to give me unsolicited advice. They told me this place was the only place I could be saved. But turns out you all just want to kill me like the rest.
I apologize for Aptum. He just thought you were already gone.
To be fair, I never believed anyone here could save me in the first place.
There were many things I wanted to ask her, but some things needed attending to first. Can you stand? I can bring a healer here if you prefer.
And get tied to this chair again? No thanks, I'd rather walk. The cuts are not that bad anyway.
I wondered what worse injuries she has had in the past to say a foot-long gash was not that bad. I took her to my preferred healer, Chandra, one of the residents of the healer program, who had somehow managed to make a pact with two separate gods and not be torn apart by either one. As with most magic users, no one knew what Chandra's pact with their gods had been. But they were more powerful and intelligent than anyone else in the school. Even though they'd never say as much, I could tell Chandra was as surprised at Helena's survival as Aptim when they saw the mark on her collarbone. This made me only more intrigued about her. After she was made whole again, I escorted Helena to the center of campus and stopped. Any plans on where you are going when you leave here?
I don't make plans. They usually just get interrupted.
So you don't have anywhere to go?
Where do you think I'd be welcome?
If she was any other victim, I would have found her a room to stay in for a while and paid for it out of my stipend while she got back on her feet. But she was right. It was too dangerous for everyone involved. I still want to help you. I can get you a good meal, supplies. Whatever you can carry is yours.
Honestly, I feel like I shouldn't ask for more. I'm safer around you than I've ever been since I left home.
When did you leave home?
It's been, like, 3 years since my parents asked me to leave, I think. Possession messes with your perception of time.
They asked you to leave?
Don't judge them too harshly. They couldn't handle a child that was trying to kill them most of the time. I don't think most people could.
When did you get that mark?
About 5 years ago, I guess. But it was definitely the third time I was possessed. My parents were already penniless after getting me out of the first two. They had no choice but to hire the cheapest exorcist they could find. The man was a fraud, of course. I was about 12. I'm just not sure how old I am now.
She both looked older and younger than 17. She was scarred but tiny. She spoke both playful and jaded. Every ounce of my empathy refused to let her just leave. She would die. I didn't know how she had survived this long. How did you survive before? How did the demon leave you?
It didn't leave. I killed it.
You what? Everyone knew that demons could only be killed if you killed the hosts. Exorcists could move and imprison demons, but they would continue to live, which some didn't think was enough.
In the inner consciousness, the host has as much power as the demon. I ran it through with the tree trunk that grew up. You know, the details don't matter.
Victims can do that?
No, I can do that. I learned to manipulate the world sort of like they do. I have to learn and follow their rules, but eventually, I can overpower them.
Gods.
It takes a lot of strength that I don't think most normal people know how to tap into. That, the mental barrier of being told killing or escaping a demon is impossible.
I can't let you just leave.
I'm sorry?
You can do the work of an exorcist without the sacrifice of a demon slayer. You can do everything any exorcist has ever dreamed of. You can't just be left to wander the world. What if someone accidentally kills you?
I mean, yeah, that's what I keep telling people. I'm the best. But most people don't seem to see it that way.
If they don't, they are crazy. There has to be something more I can do. I wish I could let you stay here.
Seems like that might deter the exorcist from learning.
I know, but I'll talk to Professor Aptim. He should be done with class in a few hours. Let me grab you a meal in the meantime.
I won't say no to any of that.
I'm sorry they didn't want to let you eat inside. It's a mess hall full of mages and exorcists. What did they think was going to happen if you got possessed?
I think it's pretty funny. I've never had so many people realize so quickly what a delight my life was.
That's because you would need to be pretty far along in your studies to recognize the power of that symbol. That doesn't mean they should treat you like a monster, though.
You're not exactly typical for an exorcist, though. Most still treat possession victims like they did something wrong.
That's because they still teach that demons are drawn to humans with flaws. So, some people believe those who get possessed are still inherently bad people. There's no real evidence that demons have any kind of system, though. So I believe it's just bad luck.
You're more correct than they are. Some demons have specific criteria or interests for their victims, but others just want to torture and kill anyone they can get their hands on.
So you've talked to the demons about this? All we have is what survivors are able to tell us, and most aren't in their right minds or emotionally stable enough to give us much.
Demons love to talk about themselves. I use it as a distraction or to learn things to use against them. I've heard some exorcists force survivors to talk.
That's usually how we get skewed or exaggerated information. Do I look like that type of exorcist? The kind who would harm the victims further?
That depends. What kind of exorcist do you think you are?
The kind that shouldn't be one. They say the best exorcists get into the profession because they've already been traumatized or victimized by demons and want to fight back. I only decided to come here on a whim after meeting an exorcist in my hometown. I just wanted to escape my family and ended up here.
But you seem good at what you do. That teacher guy trusted you enough to test me and take responsibility for me.
I'm at the top of my class, so yes, I've got talent. It doesn't hurt that the teachers love me.
The students don't seem to feel the same way, unless the glares in your direction over here deceive me.
I got on some people's bad side when I first started here, and it stuck. It was much the same with my siblings. I have no patience for petty, egotistical people.
If it's any consolation, I think what makes a good exorcist is someone who cares about the victims more than the demons. Slayers and exorcists alike get caught up in the praise and the glory and forget the broken people and places they leave behind.
They get caught up in the glory, says the girl who self-proclaimed herself the best.
I don't leave as much carnage behind to begin with. But also, my ego is helpful. In other people's eyes, I'm a victim as well. So being confident and self-assured encourages people like me to not feel guilt or shame for what's happened to them. It's better than some outside hero swooping in to save the day and being above it all.
I just want to help people. That's more important than anything else. There's Aptum heading back to his office. I should catch him before he leaves for the day.
Should I go with you?
No, I feel like he'll just get defensive and not be able to speak his mind. But I shouldn't just leave you here alone.
You can tie me to a tree, so I won't just disappear if I get possessed.
Is that okay?
I don't mind.
Well, I suppose for a quick fix, we can find something to tie you with. Sir, could we talk?
Ah, hello. Did our troublesome guest already leave?
Actually, that's what I need to talk to you about.
Where is she?
She's outside, tied up.
Marzia, people come here all the time for help from demons. How long do you think she's going to stay human?
That's why she's tied up. Listen, I know when you first found her, you pitied her. But you don't have to. She can kill demons from the inside. Do you know what this means?
Soon enough, she will run into a demon too strong for her, and she will die. There's no hope for her.
Which is exactly why we should help her. We need her. Don't you get it? She can kill demons.
She's just like the Slayers. It's another solution to a problem that humans have struggled with for all of time.
Are you serious? Her solution is objectively better. She can kill demons without killing humans.
But it's short-lived. She will just get possessed all over again.
I understand that you have to demean her to promote exorcism. But in the face of human life, can you stop the petty jealousy for 1 second and at least think of the possibilities?
Enlighten me.
In my apocalypse class, we discussed the negative implications of exorcism. Because if we don't kill demons, they will keep rising and eventually outnumber humans. As you know, exorcism can only contain and control demons for so long. Someone like her can control the demons' numbers without sacrificing human life. There is also the theory that someday the petal veil will rise in its entirety to cover this plane, which means the demons will overrun us. In that scenario, only she could save us. Otherwise, we'd be killing everyone just to try to survive.
Marzia.
She could teach others how to do this. And if not, she could still teach us so much since she can talk to the demons.
Marzia.
She could change the world.
I know. Marzia, I understand how you feel.
You do?
I understand because I feel the same way about you. You are the most promising, innovative young exorcist I've ever seen. And on top of that, you have a heart of gold. No other exorcist I know would have stood up and saved that girl, knowing what she has to live like. You have the power to change things, and I can't let you get caught up with this girl.
This isn't about me.
Then tell me, how far will you go to help her?
I don't...
Because I know how much I would do and have done to help you succeed. And keeping that in mind, I'm afraid what you will do if I say no to what you are about to propose.
What do you think I'm going to do? I've only known her for a few hours.
Just keep that in mind. It's hard to hold back when you really believe in someone. Now, what is it you came to ask of me?
Is there any way she could stay?
I just told you. Does that really seem like a good idea?
But there is so much we could learn from her. And she'd be safe around people who can understand what she's going through.
Well, I'd prefer not to have her steal my examples out from under me, as would the other professors. Not to mention, where do you expect us to keep an active demon indefinitely? We'd have to find a suitable facility, have around-the-clock guards, and the healing and maintenance costs.
So it's mainly about money, because she costs too much and would take business from the school?
Everything costs money, even in a place of learning. Is that what she wants anyway? Or are you just asking to keep her close to you?
I think she'd appreciate a home.
Even one where she's either seen as a nuisance or a freak to be examined and extorted?
You're the one who said it wouldn't be long anyway. It has to be better than how she lives now. Excuse me a minute.
I think we both know who that is.
It doesn't change anything. I'm not done making my case.
Hopeless.
Outside, I saw Helena had pinned someone to the ground. There was a little bit of blood, but the demon hadn't found a weapon yet. So it could only bite, scratch, and slam any victim. A few passers-by were already stopping and looking around to see if they should help.
Apparently the ropes didn't hold up. Do you need me to step in?
No, I've got this. I took an ink pot from my pocket and immediately drew a pentacle of power on my cheek. I immediately started going through the practiced thoughts that activated it, and pentacles of protection and revulsion sewn into my clothes as I continued to step forward. The demon looked up. I inked another pentacle onto one of the leather strips I kept at my waist. It was a risk, but considering the circumstances, I knew it would do what I wanted. It was the exact symbol on Helena's chest, and since the demon had to go to my symbol but couldn't leave its vessel, it got off the person it was pinning and slowly walked towards me. As soon as it got close enough for me to grab, I smudged my symbol so more demons wouldn't come. It tried to dig its nails into me, but using self-defense and body manipulation tactics, I forced it to the ground to get to the back of its neck. This was where I drew a paralysis pentacle, since it would only work there. I added on a chain of power and was about to add a second when I noticed the demon had frozen. It wasn't very powerful then, so I stopped since I didn't want to paralyze Helena as well. After checking on the assaulted person, I spent the next half hour being watched by a few curious folks as I contained the possessed Helena in an excessive amount of repulsion and protection symbols so that the demon couldn't step out of a small square. It wasn't a normal approach. For most people, that would have caused the demon to flicker in and out of possession as it tried to escape. But Helena didn't seem to surface at all. My improvisation seemed to accomplish what I wanted for now, though, so I had no complaints. It was dark when I finished.
Not bad. I should have known by now you'd be constantly prepared, like a full-fledged exorcist.
I could have dealt with it with nothing. It wasn't a very strong demon.
Definitely doesn't seem worth losing a life over, does it?
So you see why I'd appreciate Helena getting rid of it once and for all.
She can't stay here. For her own sake, Marcia. People bring the most powerful, stubborn demons here.
She won't be safe from those anywhere, but I see your point. Isn't there anything we can do?
It would be a full-time job just to make sure she doesn't hurt other people. I don't think we could swing getting her a place to stay anywhere else.
I could.
No. You only have one semester left until you graduate.
Being licensed or not doesn't change that I'm a good exorcist.
Without the license, you are no better than the person that marked her. You can do too much good in this world to sacrifice it all for her.
I never said I was going to leave. I know I have to make a living for myself, and I would prefer to finish what I started. Is there any way we could get her a license so that people know not to kill her when she's possessed?
I don't think anyone on the council would agree to that, considering she doesn't use our methods or have any schooling.
Can't we protect her in some other way?
We could perhaps get a letter of protection stating that she shouldn't be killed, and perhaps return here if she gets possessed. It's nothing but a sheet of paper and relies on the school's reputation to work, but possibly...
It's something.
For you, I can do that.
You know, you might do it for her, too, if you got to know her.
I've had enough heart-wrenching deaths in my time to invite another tragedy into my life. Sorry. I'm just not that strong anymore.
Is that the real reason you didn't want me to get involved with her?
Forgive me. I don't want you broken so soon.
Have a little more faith in my resilience.
Just be thankful that when you have to say goodbye to the girl, you'll never hear about her again.
I watched Helena for the next few days while she was possessed. We only each had a couple injuries, and I had to miss class. But Professor Aptum gave my teachers my excuse. Aptum was true to his word and spoke to the school heads and procured a letter and a medal that would show that Helena was under the protection of the school. As soon as she was healed, I walked Helena to the Brazos city limits. I gave her a bag of food and water, as well as the letter and the metal on a string. She put it around her neck like a necklace.
Thanks again for all of your help. I know I'm basically nothing but trouble, so you don't get much in return for your efforts.
I don't see it that way. So long as you manage to help a few more people and defeat a few more demons, I'll be satisfied.
I should be good. I survived this long.
Still, be careful. I want to see you again someday.
You're probably the first person to ever say that to me. Most people want me gone because I remind them of the worst days of their life.
Once I get my license and I begin exorcising demons myself, I will find you. I promise.
I'll plan not to die then.
I thought you didn't make plans.
Well, I never had something to look forward to before.
Then let's plan to meet again.
I'll hold you to that.
And with that, she left me as I wondered how my life would go after graduation. I used to be so sure, but I realized as it got closer, I wasn't going to know until it happened.